Fellow Freedom fans, David Carmichael here with the Faith and Freedom Show on the Eagle 104.3 FM. I'm going to play a clip from, it's an audio clip from a young man who was a witness on the bus. It's Belleville West High School. I don't know if that's in St. Louis, Missouri or something like that. I'm not really sure exactly where it is. I guess I could look, but just, it was in the news. Many people saw it and they saw a beating of two young teenager men beating another teenager on a bus. The driver, I guess, continued to drive on. He had a phone, and he called the principal, and they were on their way to school, and they made sure that the principal was there just as they arrived at the school and delivering the teenagers and other kids to the school. And I'm going to play a clip from a young man who you can see on the video stopping it, who basically put himself at risk and stopped the beating that was happening there on the bus. So we're going to play this clip, and I want you to be listening to this and be thinking about this. Another issue that came up was what should be done to the bus driver. The other thing is hate crime, hate crime laws. Should a hate crime law come into play on this? Should it or shouldn't it, and why? So here's this clip from the young man's name is Stephen Raines. Stephen Raines intervened and basically went to save one of the other students who was getting beaten on this bus. So let's listen up.
On the bus and tried to find a seat, and I think he got turned down by one or two people, and then like I guess he just wanted to sit down because the bus started moving. So he moved someone's bag and sat down, and then I guess the kid didn't like it, and people were like, dang, you threw your bag down, dang, you threw your bag down, like instigating it. And the kid, then he was just sitting there, and then I guess the first person that was hitting him got mad and just started hitting him. He stopped or whatever. Then another person just kept jawing him. The second one that had hit him just kept like jawing him, like going off and saying, "Oh, you got whooped! You got whooped!" And he said other wording, but it was along the lines of that. And he was like, "Do you want your A whooped again? You want your A whooped again?" And then he's like, the victim was like, "Do you want, like, what are you gonna call your mom?" And he's like, "What'd you say about my mom?" And stood up. Then he started hitting the kid. I grabbed the second hitter, the person that hit him the second time, and I put him in his seat, like, kind of like aggressively, because I was mad, because I thought it was real wrong how he just was hitting him just to like show off and get his shine. The victim had two bruises on his like on the side of his face right here. Then he had his glasses were broken, and one of his lens popped out, and he had a gash under his eye right here, and it was bleeding. I felt really bad for the kid because he wasn't gonna protect himself, or he wasn't trying to like even argue or fight with nobody. You could tell he wasn't gonna do anything. I think the bus driver knew what was happening through like the first time, but like we were on the road, so I really don't think he could do a lot. But the second time he told everyone, he was trying to get people to sit down, and then he called one of our assistant principals and had him wait for us outside the bus because we were close to school by then. However, I think could have maybe done a little bit more, like as far as pulled the bus over and like tried to break it up a little bit. I don't know if he was like fearful or what he was thinking, but I don't think, like, I heard he got suspended with no pay, which I know that could lead to like just getting fired. Our principal this morning, Mr. Dom, had like made an announcement over the thing, and he was like just explaining to us like how that's not how our school is, that's not how we're gonna be, and how it's not gonna be tolerated. And like he was telling how our principal was telling how they're gonna take harsh measurements, and that's just how it shouldn't be. Shook my hand and told me thank you, and then Mr. Dom did, and a couple other principals and teachers.
Okay, some of the points that this young man, Stephen Raines, made. It seems like they're going to be taking some kind of action against the bus driver. I'll tell you, when I first saw the video, I turned it off because I really didn't want to watch it. It's a violent crime, and I don't want to, I'm not that fascinated by violent crime. So I turned it off. I could see the gist of what was going on. Now, the bus driver, should he be held accountable? I'll tell you, the math teacher in East LA that was sitting there and allowing me to get beat up by three guys, and I think he was just scared. I don't think this math teacher hated me. I think he was merely a coward and didn't want to jeopardize his own physical safety. This young man, Stephen Raines, he looks like he's about 16 years old, and he put his situation, his self on the line for the sake of his neighbor. And he said he was mad, he was aggressive, because look, you know what he saw? He saw cowards, because the guy was a peaceful young man. And he wasn't a small guy, but he was getting wailed at, and he was not returning like kind. I will tell you, though, that I've been in that kind of situation. And there are times when there are three guys beating on you, and the best way to get through it is just to allow somebody to keep wailing on you. Just take the shot and move on smartly if you got some, but you know, that's if you're in a situation where you've got some expectation that it's going to end at a certain point before you're dead or something. You know, I don't think that is always a way to go. I mean, there's times that you're going to have to protect yourself for your life or whatever. But this kid just showed himself to be passive, not a coward though, because at the end of the I did see the full point where they stopped hitting him. He stood up and he held back the guy that was hitting him. So, but he didn't do it aggressively. He didn't do it as if he was standing up to him and going to go into mutual battle. The young man just stood up and tried to hold him back. And I guess by this time there was some damage to his own body and he had to do something to make it quit. But what's interesting is this Stephen Raines getting involved, where he saw a wrong and he put himself at risk to solve the problem. The bus driver didn't put himself at risk and very well may find himself out of a job. Now, the reason this is in the news today is because there was one news report. They say white supremacist group complains and protests in front of a court building, saying that there should be federal hate crimes against these young people because it was possibly racially motivated, hate motivated. And think about that. And I'm going to give you our number here again. It's 888-850-1872. Isn't a beating, I don't care what somebody, the color of their skin is, isn't that malice? Isn't that kind of thing happen with malice? Is homicide, there's homicide. And if there's malice, it's called murder. I mean, that's what it is. It's murder if there's malice. If it's accidental, it's homicide, but it's not murder. If it's accidental, it may not be manslaughter or anything. It just could have happened. But it's still homicide. It's a killing of a man. But what about this hate crime stuff? Where in the Constitution or anywhere does it give the federal government jurisdiction to say, oh, their motive was hate? The motive of their heart was hate, so we're going to take jurisdiction. You silly goose, in most common law crimes like that, where it's just your no-brainer, somebody beating on somebody, I mean, that they should, this kid need to be put in jail. That was an assault. It was aggravated assault. This guy was completely outnumbered, two guys wailing on him. And it may be he sensed he was in an environment where if he started fighting back, maybe more people would jump in. And I've been in that situation where I thought, well, if I hit this guy back, I'm going to have three people wailing on me. You know, the spokesman is the one picking the fight with me, but at least two people standing behind him are ready to jump in if I show any sign that I'm going to be fighting back. Again, I was telling a little story before the break where a guy came up to me by himself one time in Northeast LA. He didn't have his friends with him. So I laughed at him and I said, you know, you need to stop and think about what you're about to do. Okay. He was going to try to bully me and he didn't have any friends. I guess it had never occurred to him that the reason why nobody ever hit him back is because he had a backup, you know? So, I explained to him that I wasn't going to play a silly game and I just pressed on smartly. He was actually giving me something to do. He told me something he wanted me to do right there, or he was going to beat me up. So I told him no. I said, well, you know, good luck beating me up, buddy. You don't have any friends with you. If you want to try, if you want to go there, then by all means do it. I just highly recommend that you don't do that right now. You know, and I realized even at that time, well, they would pay me back later. It would have been a very humiliating experience for this guy. He didn't realize what, you know, when you start picking on an entire group of people all over the place, there's a certain amount of adrenaline that'll kick in when it's time to get even. But in this situation, is there any justification? Some people say, hey, it's a hate crime. I wonder if those guys, because a lot of times, you know, this activist groups are conscious of these hate crime bill issues and things like that, and they probably even would complain. And I wonder about that. If you're in the situation and you think, if you told your friends that there's really a hate crimes jurisdiction bill, federal law that would take jurisdiction of a case because somebody's motive was hate, if you object to that, what if you were put in a situation where this kind of thing happened to you, where your family member was subjected to some kind of hate crime or hate motivated thing that could possibly qualify for the federal hate crimes law? Would you raise that flag? Would you want that flag raised? Me personally, if I think it's a completely bogus law and that the common law of the land of the state of St. Louis, Missouri, okay, state of Missouri or wherever it was where this event occurred, I would think that their law, just the common law, you know, taking care of aggravated assault or whatever it is sufficient. It's sufficient. I mean, you have to prove that it was an attack. It was with malice. You know, the two guys that were doing the beatings weren't protecting themselves. They weren't in the self-defense mode. It's taken care of. You don't have to be in a federal court. You don't have to do it. And I would say, no, I think that is a violate. I don't think it's lawful to have such a federal encroachment on those things that should be reserved to the states on a constitutional basis. So if it happened to my family, you know what I would want? I would want the bogus law not to be used. That's asking people to be extreme in their idealism. And that's really what we're doing here for the Liberty Works Radio Network, is asking people to consider being idealistic. Really, you know what made this country great is idealism. It was a Christian biblical worldview idealism, even to the point of tolerating other religions or other religious beliefs. And not just tolerating it, protecting it. That came from an idealistic to the extreme Christian biblical worldview. And so that's what you're going to get here. That's why I call this a Faith and Freedom Show. That is my perspective. That is my presupposition. I have a presupposition that the Bible is true, that God's got a plan for our life, that we have redemption through his son Jesus, that we don't have to be depraved. And because we're not depraved, we are going to make a mechanism of government for those who are depraved and can't behave properly, and something in society that'll keep depraved people in check, of course. But we should do it totally upholding the law, even when it doesn't seem to our pragmatic, silly little minds that it's not to our advantage. So even being willing to be idealistic and say, hey, that dumb federal hate crimes bill or any kind of hate crime bill that says, oh, we've got this special little twist because it's motivated by hate. You silly goose. If it's a common law hate crime from its inception, has it not been for generation upon generation? When somebody's anger and they punch somebody in the face, I mean, that's whether you're motivated by your warped sense of not understanding that everybody's been created in the image of God, or you're just being jealous or covetous or whatever the motive is, it's all, you know, classic sin. It's all wickedness. So, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Hey, keep tuning into the Faith and Freedom Show. We're going to talk about these issues on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. Check us out on the web at faithfreedoms.org and give us a call at 888-850-1872. And we're going to return here on the 104.3 FM.